السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. قال رب لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فكذلك اليوم تنسى. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and friends in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with such a month. Such a month that some of the scholars of Islam write that imagine if this month didn't come in the calendar. Even those who are supposedly pious would have seen a dip or a great drop in the a'mal and the taqwa. This is that month that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that reminds us of where our dedication should be. It reminds us of which direction our life ought to be heading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this month such that besides the a'mal of fasting, etc., the Quran Kareem should come to the fore of every mu'min's life. Quran Kareem should be the vehicle of a person's life, not only in Ramadan Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran the guide for us in everything that we do. Not that when the moon of Eid is sighted, or even in Ramadan, then when we're in our workplace, that is a different story. When we're at home, that is a different story. Yeah, with salah, we come and fulfill our salah. No. Ulama writes regarding Ramadan that this is one of the great reminders for us that every action in our life, especially our business, is it in conformity to the Quran Kareem? In the ayat Kareema that we have just recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That person who turns away, he turns a blind eye, he ignores the ahkam of Allah regarding whatever it is, whether it's in business, whether it is intermingling of male and female, whether it be in any part of a person's life. The moment that a person ignores the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That this person will now, he will experience a very narrowed life. مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That means he might have everything of the world. He might have all the wealth, but he'll find that there's something that is not right in my life. There's something that is causing me to be miserable. There's something that is causing me to be discontent. There's something that is taking me far from satisfaction of life. So we find, respected elders and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. That person who moves away from Quran Kareem, that person who moves away from the ahkam of Allah, the mufassirin, I just want to mention the points that they write regarding this precise. We mentioned already that he will experience in this life, while living, while doing his everyday activities, he'll find that there's no contentment whatsoever. Ulama explained that one of the meanings also is that this person will experience azabul qabr. May Allah ta'ala save us. Now we find here, although the mufassirin write that this is especially for the non-Muslims, for those kuffar who do not have iman in the Quran Kareem. But if a person knows that Allah has given us a clear command, a clear prohibition rather, regarding a certain action, and he still continues in that, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this in the Quran Kareem, then Allah ta'ala is saying that this person will experience ma'ishatan danka, a very narrowed life. this is a life either in this world or in the qabr. Or ulama explained that this person might experience such a life where he is always going through some problem, he's always miserable, a narrow life, and no contentment whatsoever. If you look around, and each one of us can look into our own lives, not to, point fingers at anybody, those people who are involved in riba, talking about people from the Ummah al-Muslimah, people involved in interest, blatantly, excuse me for these words, but blatantly going against what they know Allah Ta'ala has made haram, and clear prohibition in the Quran al-Kareem, do you think that they are experiencing any type of contentment in whatever they are doing? No. There will never be any contentment in this. Yet, if you look on the flip side, those people who lived a life according to the Quran al-Kareem, or if we take it even broader than that, the Anbiya alayhimus salam, who followed the ahkam of Allah, but they had nothing of the dunya. How many Anbiya alayhimus salam? There were Anbiya alayhimus salam that were wealthy, but many of them had very little of this world, very little wealth. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how many Sahaba? The ulama write that most of the Sahaba were not affluent. A minority of them were affluent. But the contentment that they had, was due to fulfilling the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find, beloved friends in Islam, Allah Ta'ala says, "Man a'rada 'an dhikri fa inna lahu ma'ishatan danka." That person who moves away from my dhikr. Dhikr here, Mufassirin explain, means Quran al-Kareem. There's one other meaning which the Mufassirin explain, and that is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And most of the Mufassirin take both these meanings together and say Quran and sunnah, because you cannot practice one without the other. So they explain that person who goes away from Quran, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, he'll experience a very narrowed life. He'll experience a life in which he'll say that, you know what, I have everything, but there's just something missing. Just by the way, if you look at the suicides that go on in the world today, you'll find that most of the suicides that are well known especially, or in fact, even if they're not well known, are committed by affluent people with a lot of wealth. I'm talking about the Ummah, the very Muslimah especially. And it is documented in books that most of these people, they say, we had everything going for us. As far as the dunya is concerned, everything going. But there's just something that we don't know. Many who have left suicide notes. This has been documented in the books. Suicide notes, that there's one thing that we cannot put our finger on it. What is that? Mufassirin and ulama tell us directly that no doubt whatsoever, what's that one thing missing in their life? It is Quran al-Kareem, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Quran al-Kareem especially, which is missing in those people's lives, that pushes them to that point that they want to take their own life. Beloved friends in Islam, as an ummah, we have to follow. This is the month of Quran. This is that month where we find even great mashayikh who used to be absorbed all the time in teaching hadith and various sciences of sharia. But when it used to come to the month of Ramadan, they used to leave everything. They used to leave everything and dedicate infiradi waqt. That means their personal time now. And they should dedicate it to the Quran al-Kareem, finishing 30 khatams in a month, 60 khatams, 50 khatams, whatever it is. We are trying to say that this is that month where we read the Quran. We need to make a resolve. We need to turn that in my life, whether a person is in business or not in business, how much of the ahkam of the Quran am I going against? How much am I fulfilling of the Quran al-Kareem? We find that Nabi Karim, I'm just looking at the time, and look, I'll try and just discuss a few points. We find that if you look today, I'm talking about today, right now, there are certain people who, non-Muslims, economists, they are writing that if people have to follow the Sharia code of interest, riba, then the governments of the world will not be suffering and people will not be suffering. Today, the articles are replete. There are enough articles written as far as the American government is concerned that the financial downfall is because of their riba system. Who has written this? I want to bring it to your attention. It's not Muslims. It is their own economists who have written this. That it is because of that. You look at alcohol. These are all just a few examples of prohibitions in the Quran al-Karim. For us to come to our senses, the speaker and the listener, that we go back to the Quran al-Karim, where we are falling short as far as fulfilling the ahkam of Quran. When the Quran al-Karim states that a person should not drink, today how many governments of the world, articles which we have read ourselves, where they are saying that if our government had been more strict, or totally strict, like the Muslim governments as far as alcohol is concerned, we wouldn't have had so many orphanages. We wouldn't have had so many widows in our country. Beloved friends, every hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is only goodness in it. And if you and I, as people, recipients of the Quran al-Karim, if we turn a blind eye to any hukam that is in the Quran al-Karim, then at the end of the day, we only have ourselves to blame. It is mentioned that there isn't an organization, there isn't a government, except that when they follow any part of Sharia, they will see some success. And the moment any law is enforced that is against the law of Sharia, beloved friends, in a minute or two, this is our time to turn back to the Quran al-Karim. One lady in the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umm Ayman Barakah radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the foster mother of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam in fact inherited her. So we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam freed her. Because of time constraints, I'm just going to go to the end of this. You know, when the hukam came to make hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, she walked alone. She walked alone for hijrah. And on the way, Allah Ta'ala granted her a miracle, a goblet of water came, etc. But after that, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhumah, the two of them, they said, let's go to visit our mother because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away. Let's go and visit her. They went and they visited her. She saw them, she started crying. So they thought that maybe she's crying because of the loss of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She told them something to this effect, that yes, I am crying because of the passing of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I'm also crying mostly because of that wahi, in qata'atil wahi anna, or kama qalat, because of that wahi that has stopped coming to us, such an attachment with Quran al-Karim, that her son, Osama radiallahu anhu, in the last part of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a deputation out, a jamaat was sent out in the part of Allah, it is mentioned, some of the ulama say there were at least two of the khulafa arba, of the four khulafa, also senior ranking sahaba radiallahu anhum, were in his jamaat, a young man. How was that, beloved friends? The message today, if your household and my household today, if our women folk and us, we can hold on to the Quran al-Karim, there's no time, our time has lapsed, but I'm not saying it. Our senior ulama are saying that if you look today at Afghanistan, if you look at even Palestine, it is those mothers in Afghanistan especially, those mothers who grew up, those little boys, at the age of 10, they didn't know what is a cell phone. They didn't know. They faced adults, big, big soldiers, who were armed to the teeth. And Our principal, Shabir Sahib, always says that when he spoke to an alim who witnessed this firsthand, he was told that these children grew up in a lap of Quran. This is the month. This is a month Allah is giving us an opportunity. Let us reconnect with Quran. Let our women folk reconnect with Quran. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in reading Quran, but in making amal on the Quran-i-Kareem. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.